CSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Victoria Coates, a former National Security Council member, a deputy, as well as a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, writing at the National Review Online about an incident from 2014 that illustrates where we are now in the Gaza conflict, the exchange of rockets and airstrikes between the Hamas terrorists and the IDF. I read from Israel National News, August 2014. A new report reveals that U.S. President Barack Obama's administration stopped a shipment of missiles to Israel late last month and tightened weapons shipments procedures to Israel as tensions between the two nations grow amid Operation Protective Edge, the name of the operation in 2014. The report in the Wall Street Journal released Wednesday night in August of 2014 cites U.S. officials in Obama's administration who say they discovered Israel had requested a large number of Hellfire missiles directly through military-to-military channels. An initial batch of the missiles was about to be shipped, according to sources in Israel and the U.S. Congress. At that point, the Pentagon stepped in and put the transfer on hold. I end reading and turn to you, Victoria, because your article makes much attention to this incident. How does it explain what we're witnessing now in May of 2021? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me on. I think, you know, we really do have a kind of a back-to-the-future structure playing out here. I was serving as a Senate aide in 2014 when this happened, and, of course, we were very, very concerned about it because the last thing you want to do when you have a close ally who's engaged in a shooting war with a terrorist group sponsored by a sworn enemy, that the last thing you want to do is show daylight or any kind of hesitation in your support. And that's exactly what the Obama administration did. They signaled to the world that they were not going to support the Israelis in the action against Hamas. It sent a really chilling message to Israel and to the region. And you saw the Israelis go into a ceasefire very shortly thereafter. And of course, what happened is Hamas was not dealt with. They managed to survive to fight another day and have been basically lying in wait. And now, again, encouraged by the Iranians, are attacking Israel.
It is 7 years later. It is the same Hamas with many, many, many more missiles. You've seen the count, Victoria, firing out of here. Is Iran still present in this formula? Because in 2014, we can link directly between the actions in Israel and Hamas and what became the JCPOA the following year. Is Iran still present today?
Oh, Iran is front and center in this action. Hamas does not have the capability to produce this quantity or quality of rockets. And in fact, they've openly thanked Tehran for supplying them. So this is happening with, I think, very forward-leaning Iranian support. And, you know, as we've all seen, the extraordinary pictures that have been captured of the rockets coming out of Gaza and the very beautiful interceptors for the Iron Dome that are waiting to literally intercept them, we get some sense of how many of these rockets are coming out. And one of my main concerns is that, you know, Israel will need potentially additional funding to get more interceptors for Iron Dome. You know, they're not limitless. And the White House press secretary, 2 days ago, I guess, would not guarantee that we would support Israel in this if there was a request made. And that, I think, really does take us back to the Hellfires and to 2014. You know, they're sending that same chilling message.
Yes, and Iran is listening. What are they learning from this conflict? It's going on for days now. I believe thousands is the word we can use for airstrikes and missiles. What does Iran hear?
I mean, I think Iran hears that the United States is not going to support Israel. So one of the things I mentioned in the article is that there's some pretty basic actions that the U.S. can take. And these are certainly things that at least members of Congress could urge the Pentagon and State Department to do. And I think one of the most interesting is that we have four Aegis equipped destroyers permanently deployed to the Mediterranean as part of the Sixth Fleet. And the whole reason they're there, John, is to protect Europe against Iranian missiles with that Aegis system. So we could just park one of those in Haifa for a port call. That would be a wonderful demonstration of U.S. commitment.
The Iran deal of 2015 is said to be a conversation in a Vienna hotel, the back stairs of a Vienna hotel, somewhere with good pastry. Does that conversation contradict what we're seeing in Gaza? Is Gaza independent of that, or are they interrelated? The nuclear deal, the Biden administration, and Tehran's ambitions?
I think for the administration, they are desperately trying to stovepipe these two issues and separate them out. I think for the Iranians, they are intimately linked. They are all part of their effort to gain sanctions relief so that they can expand their sponsorship of terror. It was reported last week that a Hamas delegation had gone to Tehran and met with the Supreme Leader, who had promised to increase their funding in an incredible degree. Right now, the Iranians, we estimate, are giving them about $70 million a year, and that's by far and away their largest source of income. But the Supreme Leader reportedly promised to up that to $360 million a year. Which is an unbelievable increase for a country that is reportedly down to its last $4 billion in foreign reserves. So they must be really anticipating success in Vienna. But for them, it is directly linked to how much terrorism they can support.
The Abraham Accords, the success of the Trump administration, along with moving the embassy to Jerusalem, that success, is it at risk because of the Gaza conflict, because of the Iran 3.0 deal, or all of the above, Victoria? You can take that answer. It usually works.
I think the good news, if there's any, that has come out of the Gaza conflict is the very measured response, particularly from the United Arab Emirates, who, you know, are not happy about this, obviously, in any way, but are taking a much more measured rhetorical approach than they have in the past, and actually being pretty forthright in their condemnation of Hamas, which is, I think, an extremely important step. So that's good news and suggests that the Abraham Accords are going to endure this problem. But again, I think we need as much vocal forward-leaning support as we can get, particularly from the Congress.
There is an article in the Tablet magazine by Michael Duran of the Hudson and Tony Badran of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, two scholars you know very well, advancing the case that the Biden administration wants to go beyond what we saw with the Obama administration and promote Iran over and against Saudi Arabia and Israel for peace in the Middle East. Does that all make sense to you, Victoria? First of all, have I said it correctly? And are we seeing events now in Gaza and in Vienna that are consistent with that thesis?
Well, I think they're certainly following the playbook. And again, this is not exactly good news, but the better thing this time around is we know the playbook as well. And so as it starts to unfold, we can say, look, they did this before in 2014, 2015, they're doing it again. I think the Biden administration feels a great sense of urgency that they really want to not only recapture the Obama policies, but as you say, expand on them. They're really doubling down on this idea that somehow they can domesticate the Iranians, they will respond reasonably to this outreach, because in their minds, you know, the Iranians would want to rejoin the international community. They would want to improve the lives of the Iranian people. Of course, the regime has no such intent, and we know this from the last round. We've tried it before. So I think, again, it's beholden on all of us. Certainly the Tablet piece you mentioned is an excellent example, but to call them out on it and say that they are trying to recapture a failed policy, because there's no way around the fact that it did fail.
Victoria Coates is a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. She was deputy national security advisor for Middle Eastern and North African affairs in the Trump administration. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.